Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first edition of the new Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser, sitting down with our in-house prospect expert, Ryan Kennedy. And Ryan, let's start off by just kind of taking listeners through exactly what they can expect from each and every edition of this new feature.
Indeed. I think this will be a fun one. We're going to start off every week with some headlines, just sort of take a whirl around the world of prospects. From there, we'll have an interview segment. Could be with a player, could be with a scout or a coach. This week, it's going to be New York Rangers first rounder Elias Anderson. From there, we'll do a 2018 draft spotlight. Today it's going to be Brady Tkachuk, who's about to be a freshman at Boston University. And from there, we're going to do a team spotlight. So all 31 NHL teams will get a chance to shine. We're going to go reverse alphabetical order. So Winnipeg Jets, you're up first.
I think the Jets are a great one because they got a great crop of prospects, so it's good to focus on them. But let's get right to the headlines. Let's start with Traverse City.
Yeah, this is a great tournament. It happens every summer. 8 NHL teams hosted by the Detroit Red Wings, and the winners this year were the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, this is kind of significant because in the past, Chicago hasn't necessarily fared well in this tournament because a lot of their picks have been in later rounds, and you know, some of their best players have gone straight to the NHL. But they built up a nice little pipeline right now, led by Luke Snuggerud and Alex DeBrincat. Luke Snuggerud, a defenseman out of the University of Nebraska, Omaha, great skater, great offensive skill. He had some big games there for the Hawks kids. And then Alex DeBrincat, he ended up scoring the winner off a Snuggerud feed. I think Alex DeBrincat is going to be a dark horse called a candidate this year. 3 straight seasons of 50 goals with the Erie Otters of the Ontario Hockey League, and now he's turning pro. I think he has what it takes to snap up a top 6 role on a Chicago team that's going to need to, you know, juggle the cap and figure out where some of the young guys play, but he's such a natural goal scorer that I think he could have an impact right away. So that'll be interesting.
Good fit with Jonathan Toews, perhaps?
I think that's an option. I think, you know, DeBrincat's the kind of kid that can get lost in the offensive zone until it's too late, and then the puck's in the back of the net. And I think when you have Toews and potentially Brandon Saad on the other wing, that could be a really nice setup.
Moving on to Eli Tolvanen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but college eligibility didn't work out, so he moved over to the KHL.
Yeah, interesting story. This happened right around the time of the draft. You know, Nashville got him in the first round. He was slated to go to Boston College this fall, but the course credits didn't work out, and he kind of had to make a move on the fly. His OHL rights were owned by Oshawa, but he didn't want to go there, wanted to play against older competition, so he headed to the KHL. He's playing for Jokerit, which is based out of Helsinki, Finland, and Tolvanen is a Finnish native. He had an amazing start. A hat trick in his first game, plus an assist. Now has 8 points in his first 8 games, which leads the team. He's getting 60 minutes of ice time. This kid is known for his great release, just an absolute wicked shot. And again, a player that can sort of find those soft areas. The KHL is a good challenge for him because obviously it's going to be older, stronger competition. I think as the season goes on, it'll be good if he can start to play in traffic more. But for now, teams are giving him too much space and he's making them pay.
And just so people get an appreciation, young kids don't get much of an opportunity in the KHL. So the fact that he's getting 16 minutes and producing is really impressive.
Yeah, that's a great point. I always say, like, Alex Ovechkin didn't even get minutes when he was, you know, a 17-year-old playing in Russia. So for Tolvanen, still being a teenager, to get the ice time that he has, it really speaks to the faith that Jokerit already has within him. And, you know, they've got a couple of ex-NHLers on that squad. Matt Gilroy. Remember Matt Gilroy?
I do remember Matt Gilroy.
Matt Gilroy's on that team. And Brian O'Neill, who's a very good AHL player, he's one of their leading scorers as well. So there's some good talent there.
Dallas prospect Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah. Turns out he sustained a concussion in early season play. His HIFK team in Finland is playing in the Champions League, which is a European contest. Club teams from all around the continent play each other. And a little disturbing to me is it seems like he was concussed in one game against Red Bull Munich and then actually played again the next game against Brynäs from Sweden. And then after that, he came out. He didn't play very much against Brynäs, so maybe he was just testing the waters. But you know, from what I'm hearing out of Dallas is that they're going to reevaluate him in a couple of days to see if he should come over for training camp or if he should just remain there. So that's sort of a situation that we'll be monitoring.
I'm sure Dallas's training staff was none too happy if there was any concern over his head injury and being back in action. What would have been Heiskanen's realistic chances of making the Stars this year, assuming he was healthy?
Well, I don't think he would have had much of a chance, given that the Stars have quite a few good defensemen, and particularly young defensemen. You know, we're still waiting for, you know, Julius Honka to really break out, and you have Esa Lindell as well. And I mean, John Klingberg's not that old either. So I think with Heiskanen, it would have been more of a situation of him getting that first experience, you know, seeing what the pro lifestyle over here is like, getting to know the guys, the coaching staff, maybe getting some marching orders for going back to HIFK. Hopefully he still gets that chance. You know, training camp will be going on for a couple of weeks, but you know, right now it's a bit of a step back, unfortunately.
One prospect who does have a really good chance of making the NHL this year is the Rangers' first-rounder from 2017, Elias Anderson. Ryan Kennedy caught up with Elias at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Michigan. That's a tournament where Sweden, Finland, Canada, and Team USA come together. It's an evaluation to see how guys will play at the World Juniors as well as they play a tournament. And here's Ryan's interview with Anderson.
So I'm here with Elias Anderson of Team Sweden and the New York Rangers pick. And first off, Elias, I just completed the World Junior Summer Series in Plymouth, Michigan. How'd you feel about the experience?
Oh, I mean, it was my second year here, so I think it's a lot of fun here, great facilities, and to play for Team Sweden is obviously always fun, so great experience.
Now, playing for the World Junior Team last year, do you hope to take on a bit more of a leadership role coming out this time?
Yeah, of course, that's my goal. I mean, I think that's everyone's goal who's played last year. Me and Elias and all the guys are trying to take a step in the right direction this year and trying to lead the way.
Right on. It's been three straight World Juniors where Sweden has come in fourth. Obviously, you guys want to improve on that. What is it about that bronze medal game that you think has been so difficult?
I don't have any good answer on that. I mean, it's obviously tough to try to reload after a semifinal loss. So, of course, you want to have a bronze medal with you home. So, I have no good answer. That's something we have to figure out to the next World Juniors.
Right. Draft day, you go to the New York Rangers. You know, seventh overall. Very exciting. Can you just take me through that day and, like, did you expect to go that high? I know there was actually a couple of teams that wanted to take you pretty high.
Oh, yeah, I had a good talk with some teams around the 9-10 there, so I had a feeling for the Rangers when I saw they're trading up for the 7th pick, so I had a feeling that Rangers were going to take me, so, yeah, it was very exciting when it took me. I mean, this is such a classic organization and top class organization, top class staff. So I'm very happy and proud to be part of the Rangers.
Now, one of the big draws of the Rangers is the fact that the team's based in Manhattan. There's so much going on. I mean, it's, you know, probably the most famous city in the world. Have you had much of a chance to be in New York yet?
I was a lot in White Plains, the practice rink there, and then I was in downtown New York one day, seeing Times Square and everything like that. So I think it's such an amazing city. I like big cities, and I like when it's happening things around the city. So I'm gonna enjoy my time there, and hopefully find some nice apartment or whatever, or just trying to see some good restaurants and everything like that.
Cool. And obviously one of the most famous Swedes of all time, Henrik Lundqvist, is with the Rangers. Is it kind of like an extra bonus that you're now part of the same organization as him?
Oh, I know him actually a little bit since my dad played with him, so I know him a little bit. Actually, they got some other Swedes too, so of course it's more easier if they have a couple of Swedes you can talk to and they can kind of show you around and everything like that. So I think it's just a bonus that I got a couple of Swedes, and obviously the one of our biggest stars over there, Henrik, so that's kind of cool.
Right on. And you do come from an extensive hockey family. Was it kind of fun to share that draft day with your dad, and what advice has he had for you?
Oh, of course, it was fun. My dad, my uncle was actually down at the table too for the Tampa Lightning. So I had pretty much my whole family there. So it was a special feeling, you know. My dad just telling me just have fun and work hard every day, and just play the game your way and play tough hard, and just have fun.
Cool. And finally, what are your goals for the upcoming season back in Sweden? What do you hope to accomplish as a player?
I don't know. I want to make the Rangers team. That's my goal.
Right on. Cool. Well, thanks so much for doing this, and good luck.
Thank you.
Another notable player from that World Junior Summer Showcase tournament was Team USA's Brady Tkachuk, coming out of Boston University. He's our draft spotlight for this edition of the Prospect Podcast. Ryan, tell us about Tkachuk.
Well, Brady Tkachuk, he's a fun guy to watch, unless you're cheering for the other team. As you said, he's going to be a freshman at Boston University this year. He's coming out of Team USA's National Team Development Program in Plymouth, Michigan, and he was a very good player for them there. Played against older competition because the NTDP always plays against NCAA guys and then a USHL schedule as well. The thing for me was that, you know, Tkachuk was one of the youngest guys there for the Americans, made the final cut, was playing in the final games, and the thing that really sort of crystallized it for me was against Canada, the great sort of blood rivalry, even though, you know, it was the middle of summer. He lost his glove at one point, but instead of chasing it down or taking on another role, he stayed in front of the net and just proceeded to take wax. But he stood his ground, and Team USA ended up scoring on that play. And, you know, he went to the bench, and clearly he was in pain, but he was not going to give up an inch. And it's fun because, you know, I've talked to scouts about Brady, and they say, like, look, he's a Tkachuk. You know, this is Keith's son. It's Matthew's younger brother. He is a pain to play against. He's a load to handle. You know, he goes to the dirty areas. He can get those greasy goals for you. And, you know, he's a little bit bigger than Matthew, a bit longer in his frame, and it was kind of fun because Matthew was there in Michigan watching his brother, and he basically said to me, like, I wouldn't mess with Brady. Like, you know, like, you can push him, but if you push him too far, watch out. And, you know, the kid's also got some nice offensive skill. He's got hands, and I think he can be a terrific net front presence. And right now I see him as a top five player for 2018.
What team in the NHL right now could most use a player like Brady Tkachuk, and does his stock rise because of what Matthew has shown early in his career and being able to jump right from a prospect into the NHL?
Well, I think it does set a nice template because, you know, the thing with Matthew was people wondered about his skating, but his smarts made him an NHLer right away with the Calgary Flames. Brady, I didn't see much of a hitch in his skating. I didn't think it was too much of an issue. And because he's a late birthday, he only missed the 2017 draft by a day. You're looking at a player that's going to be 19 once next season begins. So if you're an NHL squad, you're saying to yourself, here's a guy that's got a lot of experience and we can trust him, you know, because he comes from that NHL lineage. And again, I've talked to scouts about this. There's a little bit of a built-in advantage when you're the son of an NHLer because you tend to pick things up faster. And I think because of that, you know, whichever team is picking high up at the end of this year, I think Brady can be a nice asset because, you know, he can play a top six role, but if you needed him early on to just be a physical energy guy, he could do that for you too.
So it's a bit of a silly question when I ask what team could best advantage from, because basically every team could use a player like Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Brady Tkachuk's the kind of guy that 30 teams are going to hate and one team is going to love because that's the team he's playing for.
One thing that interests me about the NCAA game and a guy like Brady Tkachuk is the fact that, I mean, the physicality at the NCAA level is not nearly as much as it is in major juniors. So does that stunt a growth of a guy like Brady Tkachuk, or how does his game translate into the NCAA ranks?
I think it translates fairly well, actually. I would say the physicality is different in the college game. I mean, fighting is basically unheard of because it's policed so much more strictly. But you do have a lot of stuff behind the play in front of that. Guys are still trying to get any advantage they can. So I think because of Tkachuk's experience with the NTDP, he's already played against big-time Division I programs because the NTDP always schedules those guys. So he knows a little bit of what to expect. And I think he's going to thrive because he does have size and he does have that that mentality, that sort of killer instinct, that hard work, that compete level where he's not going to move. And it'll be a good challenge for him because, you know, Hockey East is one of the best conferences out there. And he's going to be playing big-time rivalry games against schools like Boston College and Northeastern. And, you know, Boston University, they always bring in a lot of good kids. I mean, the recruiting classes under David Quinn have been very good. And I would expect that at least they're going to be a team to watch for in the tournament. I'm not sure if they're favorites right now, but I think Tkachuk can take on a nice role right away, and he can really show off what he can do. Now, the big question will be, how many points can we expect from Brady? You know, being a freshman, you know, coming into a tough conference, I would say that, you know, maybe that affects his draft stock one way or another. Maybe he turns into a top three guy if he scores really highly. You know, if he doesn't have really big numbers, maybe he's only a top 10 guy. But I think this is a kid that he seems pretty can't miss to me.
Okay, we're going to move over to the team spotlight now. Of course, mentioned off the top, the Winnipeg Jets, a prospect pipeline that's been to die for over the past few years. So good that, I guess, what was it now? Four future watches ago, we called them the Stanley Cup champions in 2020?
Something
or
like
was that,
that
the, I can't remember if it was the Buffalo Sabres or the Winnipeg Jets that we called the 2020 Stanley Cup champions. But anyways, this year, the main guy I think the fans are going to watch is Kyle Connor.
Yeah, I mean, he got a tryout last year, but spent most of the year with the Manitoba Moose in the AHL. The thing with Kyle Connor is he has incredible speed, and we know he has great offense to his game, but he needs to develop it at the NHL level, and the challenge was always going to be about, you know, his defensive play, his two-way play, and his strength. He had to add that on. So I think this is going to be an interesting year for Kyle, and, I mean, Winnipeg, they've got some pretty good depth now, so, you know, if he spends more time in Manitoba, I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think for himself, you know, he's going to want to make that next step. Another name that I would consider is Jack Roslovic. Here's a player with great diversity. He can play center, he can play wing. He's also got great wheels, and I think what makes him intriguing is that he's a guy that can play up and down the lineup. At the World Juniors, he played a shutdown role for Team USA, and he was really good at that. It kind of surprised me, actually, because I always think of him more as an offensive guy. Fun fact, when he was with the NTDP, he mostly played online with Austin Matthews and Matthew Tkachuk. So Roslovic was kind of the first guy in on pucks, and then Matthews and Tkachuk would just cycle the other team to death. So that's kind of a fun little thing. But it'll be interesting to see if Roslovic can make an impact, because I think he's really figured out what he can be as a pro hockey player, and he excelled with Manitoba last year.
The Jets have four prospects in the top 100, according to our Future Watch rankings from the last season. Kyle Connor sits at number 26 overall, Roslovic at 46. Their number three prospect, 58th overall, Logan Stanley. He'll need another season of seasoning before making the NHL, I'd assume.
Oh, certainly. And kind of interesting, Logan Stanley coming off a Memorial Cup victory with the Windsor Spitfires, got traded to Kitchener in the off season, and it's kind of fun because he's from Kitchener, he's from Waterloo. They're twin cities. If you're not from Ontario, they're right next to each other. So he's got a homecoming, and you know he'll take on a big role with that Rangers squad, and I think it'll be good for him. I know that Stanley's a very divisive prospect. A lot of Winnipeg fans are kind of anxious to see what he's going to turn into. He's 6'7", got great reach, and you know he can play a two-way game. I think there's some worries about, you know, can he keep up in the modern game? To which I would say, you know, maybe you just have to look at him as being the stay-at-home guy in this sort of new NHL that we have, where the offense maybe goes to another player. I mean, you've got Josh Morrissey with the Jets, who's already building a very nice NHL career, just as one example there. And then Tucker Poolman is another player that is coming up the ranks where maybe those are the guys that you count on for power play time and to get you points. But with Logan Stanley, I still think he can be a nice contributor, but it is going to be a while. He missed a lot of time last year with injury. And, you know, I don't expect him to go from junior to the NHL. He's going to need some time in Manitoba. And, you know, the stronger he gets, the better it is for him. And, you know, the more reps he gets, I think that's going to be good as well. So if he's with the Moose, you know, for another year or two after his junior career, I think that's okay.
The fourth player in the quartet of top 100 prospects from the Winnipeg Jets is Eric Comrie, who spent last season with the AHL's Manitoba Moose. Ryan, give us an update on him.
Well, I think Eric Comrie is progressing nicely. I think, you know, getting those minutes in the AHL is so crucial for a goaltender, particularly coming out of the junior ranks. They actually, you know, if you talk to scouts, they'll tell you the biggest jump in a player's career is from junior to the AHL or college to the AHL. It's not AHL to NHL. It's actually hard to make that leap where the lifestyle is a bit different. You're playing against guys who, in some cases, are 30 years old and have, you know, been in the NHL before. They've got that man strength. And for a goalie, you know, you're looking at guys that might have heavier shots. You're probably facing more traffic. And I would also say, depending on the team you came from and the team you're landing up on in the AHL, you might be facing more dangerous shots because there's a lot of defensive coverage that gets blown in the AHL. There's a reason those guys aren't in the NHL yet, right? I mean, they've got things to work on. So, I mean, I really enjoy watching the AHL because you see a lot of odd man rushes. I can't imagine goalies are stoked about that on a night-to-night basis, but it can really help you in the long run. And, you know, with Comrie, the good thing is Winnipeg, they don't need to rush him. I know they have goaltending woes, but they're hoping Connor Hellebuck can take another step and maybe Steve Mason can help a little bit in that respect, just getting him acclimated. But Comrie can take his time, be a starter, get minutes, and know that he's on the right path.
I get that this is a crystal ball question, you know, with no definitive answer. But, yeah, I mean, Connor Hellebuck has and has for several seasons now been seen as the goalie of the future there. But if you're putting money down, who is tending the Jets' net in 2019-2020? Who's getting the bulk of the starts?
That's a very good question. I feel like I still believe in Hellebuck. I think maybe you see Comrie as the backup at that point, and maybe he ends up taking over, but I still got a little bit of faith in him. Like, I think his upside has been pretty good.
Let's take a look at the picks the Jets made this year, starting with their first-rounder, Christian Vesalainen.
Yeah, this is a very intriguing player. I saw him, you know, pretty often last year internationally, and he's a big power forward, really gets up the ice quickly. And, you know, the puck handling skills were great. He just could not finish to save his life. And that turned out to be the story of his season. You know, he was playing in Sweden for Frölunda, which was kind of interesting for a Finnish kid, but he actually had Arturi Lehkonen doing the same thing, the Montreal Canadiens prospect. Wasn't scoring for Frölunda. They loaned him out, actually, back to Finland before the World Juniors to try to get him more ice time, get him more of a sort of showcase for the Finnish World Junior team. Didn't really score there either, but made the World Junior team. That World Junior team was a disaster. I think Vesalainen didn't really have much of an impact until they were trying to stave off relegation in that final series, which they did, so kudos there. And then he came back and he was okay. This year he's going to be playing for HPK back in Finland. And I know he got dinged up early with a minor injury, but I don't think it's too serious. But he did have an assist in one of his first games, which is very positive. Tons of upside on this kid. I need to see numbers. That's going to be the key for Christian Vesalainen, is to really put things together. And also, he's got to have a strong World Juniors.
And Dylan Sandberg.
Yeah, I like Dylan Sandberg a lot. He was one of my sleeper picks heading into the draft. This is a kid that played Minnesota High School last year for the Hermantown Hawks. They ended up winning the small division championship. So for those of you who have heard me talk about the Minnesota High School tournament before, there's the big school division where Casey Mittelstadt, the Buffalo Sabres first rounder, he played for Eden Prairie. They didn't win, but they went pretty far. Then there's the small school circuit. That's where Hermantown won. It was their second in a row after losing numerous times before that. I think the last four or five in a row before they actually won it. And funny enough, I made a Buffalo Bills reference to Dylan Sandberg about losing four in a row. He had no idea what I was talking about. And then I realized how old I was that those Bills are long gone. But he's a big kid, big shot, and he's mobile. And he's headed to the University of Minnesota Duluth, which is a very good program. They've been very adept at developing players of late, and their coaching staff are actually all ex-defensemen, if I'm not mistaken. So I know Sandberg was very excited to go there, and he was at the World Junior Summer Showcase for Team USA. I thought he did pretty well for a young guy, and it'll be fun to see how he adapts to the NCAA game.
Kevin Sheveldayoff, I don't think it's fair to say he's been gun-shy in trading, but he's definitely been conservative when his hand hasn't been forced, i.e. Vander Kane. Is it time that the Jets start dealing off some of these prospects and getting into that win-now mode?
I definitely think they're in win-now mode. The interesting thing for me is that I want to see how that defense functions kind of one more time with everybody healthy, everybody sort of on the same page. You don't have Jacob Trouba missing games at the beginning of the year because of a contract dispute as we did last year. And also, it feels like the Winnipeg lineup makes a lot more sense now. Like Mark Scheifele, we know he's the number one guy. He has proven it. I think he's a top 10 center in the NHL already. They just re-signed Brian Little. Now Brian Little is your perfect number two guy. It feels like cosmically it makes that much more sense. And, of course, with Patrick Laine, you have one of the most dangerous scorers in the NHL. I mean, he could win the Rocket Richard this year, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye. So I think they're set up pretty well, and that youth pipeline is nice where they've got competition for roster spots. You know, like Joel Armia, Marco Dano, like all the guys that have been pushing up for years. Now they have to earn those spots, and they know that people are going to be pushing from behind. Nick Patan is another one. So I think that competition is good, and as we were alluding to earlier with Kyle Connor and Jack Roslovic, we don't know how many games they're going to get in the NHL this year, and that's a great problem to have if you're Winnipeg. So I kind of want to see how it all shakes out before they make a move. But having said that, they've got the pipeline to do it. If they need to make a big move, they've got the assets that will be alluring to other teams.
Well, that's it for this week's Prospect Podcast. Next week, we'll spotlight the Washington Capitals and have an interview with Las Vegas prospect Cody Glass. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm your host, Edward Fraser. We'll see you next week.